also hear from some
Blog Talk Radio.
And Uvalde. Better than expected, but a bit below this year's monthly average. That's what economists generally say about the May jobs report from the Labor Department. More from Joe McConnell.
Employers added 390,000 jobs. That's about 60,000 more than expected, but about 45,000 less than April. Still, Labor Secretary Marty Walsh gives it a positive spin.
Well, I think we're seeing steady and stable growth here, obviously. We average about 400,000 jobs per month for the last 3 months, which is good to see.
Walsh says there's more room for job growth across the country, and he's specifically mentioned the education and medical fields.
There are currently 20 cases of monkeypox reported in 11 states across the U.S. The CDC's Jennifer McQuiston says all of the patients are adults who reported international travel in the 21 days before their symptoms began.
The rash caused by monkeypox virus can spread widely across the body or present in sensitive areas like the genitalia. It can be really painful, and some patients have reported needing prescription pain medicine to manage that pain.
She says they're investigating how the outbreak began and started spreading last month. Monkeypox is transmitted person to person through close contact. Police are investigating another school threat on Long Island. Cops arrested a 15-year-old who posted a threat on Instagram saying he'd send shots flying at Riverhead High School. Earlier this week, a student was arrested for making similar threats at the school. There have been a few more school threat incidents on Long Island this week following the mass shooting in Texas. The family of former NFL running back Marion Barber III is planning his funeral, but is still not clear on the cause of death. The ex-Dallas Cowboy and Chicago Bear was found dead Wednesday in his apartment in Frisco, Texas. The memorial service is scheduled in Minneapolis, June 22nd. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Friday. Well, we'll see some clouds and showers this morning. Actually, we'll mix in some thunderstorms as well. Yes, I've seen some lightning already this morning. That'll be pretty much before noon and a little bit rolling after 2 o'clock today. Other than that, mostly cloudy skies. Also, winds out of the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures around 67. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, showers likely. Lows back down to about 56. For the weekend, more clouds and rain on and off. High temperatures in the mid to upper 60s and low temperatures in the mid 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle. Yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Are you having difficulty feeling at home in your own home? Join Annette Rigolo and Dr. Pat in Enlightened Environments, Optimizing from the Outside In, as they present a deep dive into the various vibrations of the earth, along with man-made energies that impact our lives. Using the diamond dowsing method, we will utilize specific vibrations to elevate our own homes to support us and expand us with their energy. Join us every third Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to make your home, home.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the show. It's a great show. It's Octavius joining me here today to Condor in the Eagle Prophecy as a mirror of our time. That is just the beginning of the conversation that we're going to have. I'm going to tell you all about what this amazing man is doing, has done in the world. And, you know, for many of us that live on the edge of this intuitive knowing of things but just can't really put it together, you know, we have to have a conversation with, you know, an amazing leader in international shaman, author of 3 books at least, teacher, healer, public speaker, community activist, all of the above. And, you know, we're going to find out all about this. But what happens when you take practical wisdom and you build this bridge? And why do you want to do that? You bridge it because these indigenous teachings are in our DNA. They're in us. I don't care where you're from or what you think you're part of. There is something about us that goes back so far, that is so much a part of who we are. But why do we forget? Why do we forget? And how is it Tuck bringing this back so we understand all of this? He is the recipient of the Ambassador for Peace Award from the Universal Peace Foundation and the UN, because once you get a sense of the aspect of metaphysical spiritual energy, indigenous teachings and rituals, you can't go back. Let me give a shout out before we get going. Benny, great to have you. Olivia, Jacob, all of you, get ready for a fantastic show.
We're on it.
It's so great to have you here. I mean, those few words don't even touch upon how you're showing up in the world. I want to start out by talking about you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's an honor. You know, I get asked a lot of questions. You know, this show has been 20 years of positive talk before it was even popular. And people ask me, how did you do that? And the reality is, I didn't do it. It showed up for me at one of the most depressed times in my life. But I want to know from you, in the long and winding road, I want to know what sparked in your heart the first time you had a passion and a purpose to be drawn to the teachings you're doing today.
Well, you know, like you said, it always comes from the dark side, right?
I know.
So I had an advertising agency in Manhattan, and very creative, and my purpose was to, you know, to fulfill the side of the creativity part of me, and we won many awards, and I felt like satisfied from that point of view. But I got to this age, around the age of 40, that I was like, what the hell is that life is about? It was like really difficult process of, you know, saying goodbye to all the accomplishments and to all the stuff that I already done before, and then being in the unknown, being in the place of not knowing. And then I was pulled into that, and I think that I can't really see maybe one event that happened that was like the major force. It was made of many, many road posts that I bumped into, and then I found myself even when I went to the Amazon, and I had this plant medicine, and I had this incredible vision that gave me like a framework for my life. I was still didn't know how to do it or what to do with it, and it took me 10 years to really integrate that and bring it into my life. But it is a process, and you know, like I think that we're always looking for one event that will change our life. But I think that it's a Western way of thinking, because every moment is a moment that if we allow to, it can change our life. Yeah. Every moment is a significant moment if we are willing to let it be, and if we can understand the meaning of each of the moments, then I think that is so important. Because enlightenment would not come because somebody hit you with a hammer over your head. It will come in a small moment of realization.
Yeah. I love this. I don't know what it was, but it was like, for me, 40, it was that. You know, people say, like, what happened to you, right? And I've tried to explain in many, many ways to many people, but I was doing it before I had the understanding I have today. Because, you know, if you look at me at 40, I was like you. You know, I'm on the East Coast. I'm an executive in a Fortune 50 company, right? I'm thinking that the only thing in my life that matters is how big my house is, how many sports cars I have, do I have a motorcycle, and how many acres did I buy, right? And it was, I want you to just comment on this, because this, I believe, is in the shamanic and spiritual teachings. It's not, they don't quite say it this way. They're much more eloquent than me. But I do believe these things happen. Honestly, what happened to you and what happened to me, it happened in such a deeply profound sense of ourselves. I was walking down the stairs of my big house into a large foyer, where I always had a mirror before I got in a car to go to the big job. And I always had to check myself in the mirror. And I remember this. I looked in the mirror. And it was before my 40th birthday. And I was unrecognizable to myself. I think it was, honestly, it was almost like a shamanic vision where you look and you don't see the person you thought you were. When these things happen, as it did for you, and the many things you now teach, mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know what to do with that. Did you know what to do with it?
No, I think that it's a process. In many ways, it's a process of grieving of the old self, the old dream that society gave us, or we thought that we have to fulfill that role. And I think that's part of the problem with our society, is that we have these dreams of big houses, like you said, race cars, you know, the person who have the most is probably the person who's more powerful, more happy, more, and it's, we are promoting it in every step of the way from very early childhood to until we get to the age of 40. And then we realize that we're all basically living a lie or a nightmare or a dream that is not cannot be fulfilled at all. It is, and that's really where, for me, it was about letting go of that old dream. And then it takes, in my case, it took maybe between 5 and 7 years to really get into who am I? You know,
yeah.
What is this? What is this about? What makes me me? You know, to reconnect or to re-remember our original gift that God put us on earth to do.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the problem with Western education system or society, that we're really separated from nature or from our environment. We want to conquer. We want to build. We want to be the best. We want to be stars. We want to be on the stage. We're like American Got Talent. I mean, all of that stuff. It's like it's a hollow plastic culture.
Yeah.
And it separates us from the old nature that we are, and the society we are trying to destroy. And I think it's that the age where you already achieve your life achievement or goal, it's no longer about money. It's really about what's your legacy here. What do you leave behind? What do you tell your children, your grandchildren? What kind of world are you going to leave behind you? And you know, I do believe that everybody have a beautiful soul that wants to do good in the world.
Yeah.
Even the people who are doing the worst thing in the world, they have that spot in them, in their soul, that they really want to make good in the world, to be with the light or with God or whatever, any force that you want to call it. And they still do very bad things to others. But I think at that age, where around 40 and 50, where you start to be a mentor, you are looking to do that, and some people don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why your show is so important, and so many other shows are so important. This teaching is to, you know, at the end, you know, before we leave this earth, nobody asks you how much money you have. Nobody asks you how many cars and houses you had. But I think the most important thing that, and I've, you know, in my work, and I see a lot of people who are, you know, on deathbed. There's only two questions that people ask: who loved me, and who I loved.
Mm.
That's the only thing that really people at the end of the last breath they asking: who loved me when I was on this earth, and how I loved others. At the end, that's the most important thing.
Mm. It is.
Can you think about something else more important?
No, I can't. And, you know, and the idea of being in that space, you see, if you're in the space of love, all the other things can't coexist with it. Not greed, not hate, not fear, right? Not doubt, can't. I tried to have them both coexist together, and I lost that battle. You know, and what I love about this is, because we're going to talk about the condor and the eagle, we're going to talk about the prophecy, but what I do believe too, and I think you've said it, I think each of us in our own way has been able to get a glimpse of our future and our vision if we say yes to it and move forward. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was so excited to talk with you, because if there's one thing we can help people with, and maybe they'll hear it today, is when you're given sight, and I'm not saying like just your eyes, but when you're given sight of something that is different than for you, of where you are now, maybe that you've imagined at some point, maybe you've just blocked it out and called it unrealistic, it's coming back to remind us. And I wanted to ask you about this because I have known all my life that there was more to my culture, my race. I knew it. And honestly, I just never understood why my aunts and uncles looked the way they did. They didn't look Italian. Like crazy. And I knew. And, you know, if I thought back at this once I discovered this, and I only discovered it recently, when my friend pulled up my grandfather's, like, I don't know what you call it, genealogy stuff. And she's such an expert at it that she traced it back to when he changed his name, when he took the S off the name or whatever that was and put the A on it. But we know. You see, why would somebody like me be drawn to anything Latin from a young age, Latin dancing? I mean, honestly, it was so weird. But here's what I want to ask you. We need to share this prophecy. We need to talk about this because I do believe people right now are getting their own version of this. Can I ask you for a minute? You had the honor to be part of a panel. I wish I was like a fly on the wall. I wish I was like, okay, I want to do it. But it was about something that I relate to, a symbol, the Phoenix Rising. I always related to that. Mm-hmm. Because I have felt I have crashed and burned so many times in my life. Mm-hmm. But, man, you just can't keep us down, this. And we're going to talk about the fact that your statement is, and I think people are feeling this, we are being dragged into the future. And there are some of us that have given up kicking and screaming, mm-hmm. but it still feels like being dragged. You know, can we talk about this notion of this prophecy that is so contemporary and yet so ancient? Is that just me, or do you have the same sense of that?
No, I think that it's absolutely right. And you know, like we are now in a period of what seems to be between, I don't know, between 30 to 50 to 80 years of transition between two periods of time. It's called Pachacuti. It's in the Inca, or the Inca tradition they used to count time in lump sum of 500 years. So every 500 years there's a revamping or re-changing of the gods in a way. 500 years plus 30 years now, where the Spaniards came to South America and demolish, conquer, change the way South America is. 500 years after that, the prophecy is the condor and the eagle. So the eagle came 500 years before, and they occupy all South America, destroy the culture, destroy the connection that native people had with the mother, with the earth, with Pachamama. We are now in a period of time of change, and that is almost like a being in the eye of the storm. You know, you see everything is moving off the walls, but you don't really know why. Because you are in it. You don't have the ability to see it from above. And so the transition between a militaristic, capitalistic, selfish I, or the masculine forces within ourselves, is giving room now, or changing into a more earth-honoring 500 years period of the new Pachacuti. And of course, the people who benefited most from the last 500 years of occupation, which is, I can say it bluntly, is the people who are today the white majority industrial corporations in the United States that are mostly run by men. They are fighting like hell.
Yeah.
They are screaming and yelling, and they're not going to let anybody... All, if you notice, like, what are they fighting about? They're fighting about the earth, which is Pachamama, which is the feminine aspect of our life. They're fighting about women rights and to decide what they want to do with their body. They're fighting against the feminine aspect of men who wants to live together with other men. It is all in that context.
Yeah.
Men who are holding on to power, not giving an inch to the feminine aspect of themselves, and you can ask yourself why. And you know, the question of why is, like you said earlier, it's about fear.
Yeah.
Fear of losing power.
Yep.
Fear of losing control. Feeling of that is not enough resources in the world for everybody to share. The fear that women might run the world and they will destroy it. And then what will men will do? What the men would lose their role in the world. It is all based on all our society now. And you can absolutely say it today, like, very clearly, that Republican ideology is all about fear of losing control and giving away resources, connection to the earth, generosity,
yeah,
to everybody. And you know, if you look at the principle of the work, the shamanic work is oneness, that we are together. All the races, like in the Inca corn that is a multicolor.
Yeah.
The Inca corn, the multicolor corn, is a symbol of the new period, that all races are on one cob.
Yeah.
And we are all feeding humanity, and there's enough to share. We don't need to have one person have $1 trillion, the other person have $1.
Yeah,
it is just not human, and it's not spiritual. But in any way, I think that period of chaos that we are experiencing now is the sound of the changing time.
Yeah.
And in many ways, I have a lot of pessimism with me, seeing all of those events that are happening. And I'm sure that a lot of people feel betrayed, and they feel angry, and they feel lost and grieving. And so much emotion goes in. And, you know, like, if you are working with people as a therapist or a shaman or a counselor, You hear that from people, that they are really lost in their feelings. They don't know how to look at their life anymore because everything is shifting.
Yep.
And it's shifting not necessarily in all the good ways. Sometimes it takes you back and forth. So there's a lot of confusion. But if you are able to move into the eagle and condor eyesight from above and see the perspective of where we are as we move as human race, I think that in 30 to 50 years, I'm very optimistic.
Yeah, and you know, but let's talk about that, because I agree with you, and the only reason I agree with you is because, you know, that is the way somehow that... The level of optimism got in my DNA. I don't know if it was from my mom whose father was born in Brazil. Hello. I don't know, but think about it. I mean, here I am, and I'm talking with you, such an honor, and I actually understand, you know, a lot of what we're talking about, and yet there's so much more to learn. And here we sit with the network, the Transformation Network, which is, you know, you're on my show, but also, you know, we have a network we've launched. It's all uplifting, optimistic, positive, the entire network. What you see in the background are the channels we're launching in 18 months, all of them. But it's based on that foundation. And I will tell you that saying yes to these things doesn't come without, as my friend calls, backlash. I mean, if I had a dime for everybody back in 2008 that told me I would fail almost immediately by creating a platform where things were solution-based, uplifting, inspirational, holistic, spiritual, right, yet practical, I would be like Rihanna the billionaire. But that's not who we are. And what I love about what you said is we can learn from this prophecy. And the thing that's so cool about it is the learning, the acknowledgement, the awareness doesn't have to be hard. I want to take a minute and let folks know a couple of things. Can you please let our audience know how they can find out more about you? Honestly, The Gift of Shamanism, the book you wrote, I mean, there's just so much that we could talk about. But can we tell folks how they can find out more about you? And let's get them to the website and also get them to some of the books. What's the best way to do that?
So my website is just my name, isaacbeery.com. And if you would like, I can send them newsletters about what my activities are. And I teach a lot on Zoom, so wherever you are. And you're also welcome to come join me in person now that everything is opening.
Yeah.
In Colorado, London, Israel, Ecuador, Amsterdam, and other places around the world where I teach.
I want to know, see, what I'm interested in, and I didn't see it on your website, so I'm going to put you on the spot for a minute, and then we'll get back. We'll get back to talking, we'll get back to talking about the eagle and the condor, condor and the eagle. But now that things are opening up, do you see yourself now taking people on retreats? Do you see yourself doing that?
Well, I already done that last
I know.
Year.
Yeah, I know.
So I took two groups to Ecuador. We had an amazing time. I mean, we were very careful, of course, and things are opening, and people want to continue to live life. And I think that our mission is, or my mission is, to bring people to South America, where the connection to shamanism or earth-based philosophy is still very strong. It's disappearing. It's not going to be there for many years. So my goal is to bring as many people down there to meet the shamans, to hug a tree, to be in the Amazon, to swim in the river, to create an emotional connection with the earth or Pachamama. Because, you know, a lot of people who took these trips, and I think that that's very important, you know, most of our teaching is done by words, you know, like I'm talking, you listen. But really the real teaching is by being, or by embodying the experiences that you are experiencing in nature. And I'm not saying that you have to go to Ecuador for that. You can go up to your mountain, or you can hug a tree here. You can light a fire and speak to the fire. But it's really more about the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what's so powerful going to Ecuador is, first of all, to see the culture, the eagle culture, on the environment. And we are going into the most remote, pristine place in the world. It's so beautiful. And a few miles away, there is oil companies.
Horrible.
And palm oil companies that are destroying it. And the rate, you know, I'm going there for quite a few years, so the rate of destruction and to see what also the destruction firsthand, the destruction on the society of the indigenous people. So most people, when they come there, they really feel it. They know it, which is like a whole different way of education. You know, in our Western society, we examine people by how much they know, you know, how much details they know. But here the whole process of indigenous teaching is to let people experience. And when they come back, they change their jobs. They make a commitment to a whole different way of life.
Yeah. You know, I love this, and I love that we're talking about this, because what I want to say to the people listening to this is, you know, we're talking about, you know, Condor and the Eagle. We're talking about the prophecy of Ecuador's high Andes and, you know, the legend. There's so many legends in this. But I want to just say this to everybody, and I really want to mirror what you said. You know, we're talking about, for me, I've shared about how I accidentally got on my first vision quest with my mentor back in 1997. See, I now know that in the laws of the universe, there are no accidents. I already know that the reason for me to go on that vision quest 10 days, even though my boss's intention for me was to go on it and steal all of her ideas, by the way, so that he can do it, right? That was why he sent me. And I was in the middle of my doctoral program because my course direction was to be a high-paid consultant. Well, I will tell you that that was shortly after my 40th birthday. So things were not right with me to begin with. I knew I had to go back to school. I knew I needed to learn. But what happened to me, it changed me so profoundly. I did finish my doctorate. I picked the thing I wanted to study, which was Broken Promises. I don't suggest that you pick something like that if this is your first rodeo. I studied it. I interviewed people. But what you described, and that was my first, the profound impact it had to get me to where I am today, I couldn't have done it without it. And it's hard for me to find the words of it. And what you described is, yes, you have to listen to the teachings, but the minute you're spending time on the land, the minute you're in a circle, the minute that you're up all night long, the minute that you're wandering out through a tree that seems like it's 50 feet away, but it's actually 2 miles in a desert, and you're lost, and you have to lay down naked in the sand and pray that what your mentor told you will happen, and you feel the shadow of a bird on your back. And that bird then takes you back to your base camp. See, it's so difficult to explain that except in a very logical, linear way. But what you're talking about is a way for us to recognize, one, and I really would love to hear you on this, frustrated, confused. We have more depression now, more alcoholism and addiction. But something magical is happening. Here's what it is. The business world calls it the Great Resignation. Hello. What does that mean? People are resigning. They don't want to work in those jobs. That's what happened to you and me, right?
Absolutely.
They call it the Great Resignation. Now, let's mirror that with Elon Musk putting an edict in place for all of his employees that they can't work from home. How out of touch do you really need to be to understand that the Great Resignation is because people don't want to work that way, and that you are going to exert your power to make every one of your... I mean, what don't we get, Isaac? What are we not getting here?
Well, that's exactly what happened. We have still installed in our brain the old way of thinking. And we already see in the horizon, we see the future. But how do you bring an old way of thinking and you know that at the horizon, the sun is going to be there? And that is the fight that we are really right now. Old way of doing business, old way of thinking about society, old way of thinking about the earth, old way of thinking about religion, corporations. And we know it doesn't work. I mean, those people who are resigning from work, they are voting with their feet. You know, they just don't got to go there. They don't want to be slaves anymore. They want freedom. And that's really what the new period, mm-hmm. the new Pachacuti is about. It's about freedom to choose who you are, to fly in the sky in the way you want it, and in cooperation with the eagle, not separately, but in harmony, being someone oppress you to do something you don't want to. But it's about finding the common ground, finding abundance. All the what we consider to be feminine energy.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the old way of thinking is an old masculine way. Like, for instance, why would you want to invade a country that doesn't want you?
I interviewed the youngest member of parliament in the Ukraine. And you know what I learned about that culture? Holy cow, they are so resilient. They have a parliamentary a board that is made of people of all ages, all insights, and the strength of the women in that country. But why would you? I mean, let me ask you a different question. Why would you want to? Why would you be allowed to do it? And why is the rest of the world so darn quiet about it?
Well, that's again, you know, there are many in the world that are, the Ukrainians are going through, and there are some people who are still in the old way of money, oil, power, and military. Now, if we, and I don't know about that, but I think if we take all the resources that we have for military and for oil and all the subsidies we give to people who don't really need it, and we share it with the rest of the world, wouldn't it be better for the whole world?
Yeah.
Wouldn't we all be healthier, happier, and living in a much better way, a honoring way, sustainable way, to open up the road to our new generations, to our grandchildren? Of course we will. I mean, imagine that a country that have spent so much money on defense, like the United States, that is, it's larger than all the other countries combined. Imagine what we can do with that.
Yeah.
Can we can stop the destruction of the Amazon. We can give people honorable way of living. We can tackle all the medical problems that people who have. We can even give insulin for free. So, I mean, all of those things is like an old, that's the old Pachacuti, the whole way of masculine way of thinking about life.
Yeah.
And you can see that, like, in the coronavirus, the better countries, the countries that had a prime minister who was a woman did much better as a country than countries who was ruled by men.
I mean, look, we know this. I mean, most of us were in awe at Chancellor Merkel of Germany. Now, you may not like everything she does, but when she gave her perspective and told the world what she was going to do in Germany, we all listened. And if you watched her, you knew they were going to be out of the gate doing something. And what I also watched is how many other countries didn't follow suit. And, you know, what you're talking about and getting back to understanding the divine feminine, divine masculine, and understanding that when you embrace both, you can't sum the power of that. You know, look, I got to meet a young woman. She was a high school student at the time. I'm a Lyme disease advocate. I've been for a long time. I still am. It is the fastest growing epidemic on the planet, and because you can't cure it with pharmaceuticals, it doesn't get any press. But this young woman happened to get an internship at a university that happened to be studying nanotechnology. Her mom was suffering from Lyme disease. This young woman got permission to try to use nanotechnology in a lab setting to eradicate and or kill the various co-infections of Lyme disease. She did it into her. See, she went to school, but what happened to that? It's not going to, if you can use nanotechnology to eradicate viruses, where do the pharmaceutical companies go? And I've been watching this, and I've been watching the articles that are now coming out. But can you imagine programming a nanotechnology aspect? And natural medicine is doing this now in frequency. But can you imagine programming something like that to focus exactly on something like Borrelia and eradicate it from your system?
I believe that because, you know, that's what we do as shamans. We
yes.
We direct energies into
that's it.
Areas, and we change the outcome of it. But you see, if we talk about the changing of time...
And yes,
time
talk that about that.
At the time that takes to change, we can see that the future is already written for us. There's so many obstacles to get to it. And the obstacles are really old way of thinking. And the fear of the not knowing of people who already have. That's the biggest obstacle that we have here. It's like when the river is flowing and it can flow calmly and wonderfully and feed the ocean. If you throw stones and boulders in it, it becomes white water. We are now in this white water. And so many people are so afraid of, you know, reaching the ocean, the future. They are willing to, with their nails stuck on the walls, to keep them in the same place because they are afraid so much of the future. So I think that one of the things that we, in the spiritual world, we need to is to vision the future and to help soothe the people who are afraid to go on a canoe with us.
You have to do it that way. And, you know, but isn't that the divine feminine? Isn't the notion of approaching something, you know, from a soothing solution aspect of it? I mean, isn't that what we're, when we talk about Pachamama, isn't that what we're talking about? I mean, we're watching nature purify poisoned lakes,
mm-hmm.
right? We're watching pods that are growing up that can eradicate toxins, right, without our intervention. And yet, I am so hungry to find a way to get the attention of people that could join the movement. Because you and I both know from our personal experience and in teaching others, something transformative happens that changes you in a better way. And I must say one thing, and you can comment on it. I am not saying that this transformation at 40 and all of that, I'm not saying that that was a cakewalk. It wasn't. I mean, honestly, for me, it was horrible. I realized that I was an addict and alcoholic, and I had to clean that up. But I was so absolutely motivated to change. The other thing I realized, I was not the same person. I walked into my corporate job, and I told them off. You can't fire people with 29 years of service. So something happens that causes a little upheaval, right? So let's talk about that for a minute, because sometimes when people hear me talk, they think that this was a cakewalk. No, it wasn't. I was in an abusive relationship, but everything came to light. But it was up to me to figure out what to do next. Let's get back to your statement. Sometimes the dark... Go ahead.
So my understanding now is that... each of us comes to this world to accomplish a mission or a soul mission. And all those traumas, all those difficulties, all those traumas that we are experiencing come here to redirect us, to remind us of our sole purpose here on this earth. So, of course, it's much easier to sit on a couch and do nothing. But if you do nothing, then you get fat or you get the lazy, you get the disease. So if you get disease, you have to start researching what do we need to do. So it leads us into your healer path. And so every obstacle account or every trauma that I dare say we choose is a step in order for us to reawaken our soul, to recognize what we came here to do. Mm. And I think that one of the crises that we have here is people yearning to reconnect with their soul purpose, with their love that they have inside themselves, with to reconnect with who they truly are as a magnificent being. And everything else, it's difficult to deal with. Because inside yourself, and I do believe that even the people that are now struggling and they want us to be occupied and whatever, that their soul, no matter what they learn in school, would want them to be good, to fulfill that life purpose that they came here to experience. And as a healer or as a person who works with people, and I think also is to awakening that yearning.
Yeah.
To awakening that yearning to be complete, to reunite with that essence that you came here to experience. And I never really experienced anybody who have a sole purpose to be a destroyer. No. It is always about doing something for others in a way that honor other people. And I think that is, this awakening of the yearning is so important.
Boy, it is. And, you know, isn't that what we're going through? I mean, you know, I was asked to write an op-ed about the Great Resignation because people understand my research now. You know, I don't study psychological contracts and broken promises anymore. It's really hard. I have publishers that want me to write a book. I have 1,200 pages of interview notes, and every time I go look at them, I go through post-traumatic stress disorder. But they wanted me to write this op-ed on the Great Resignation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm still thinking about it. And what I'm thinking about it is, what would I write? And I would write what you just said, because underneath that is the great yearning to be awakened. And COVID has awakened a lot of people at the soul level. That would be the article I would write, because we can talk about why people are resigning. No, it's not the great resignation. It's the great awakening. And it is at the soul level and the DNA level. And so what I love about this, and I love about the work you do, is when people get to step and work and learn from you side by side, whether it's Zoom or whether it's events, it doesn't matter. There will be an awakening. But chances are you've already started the process, right?
Well, each person comes to the teaching in his own space or time,
mm-hmm.
And also age. So there's a lot of people who are young and they are really enthusiastic, but they can't really sustain it because they are in a different part of their life. And there are people who are much older, they have a whole different perspectiveness of that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people who are called to be counselors and healers. And so each person comes in a different way, but, you know, the truth is that they do change their life.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of where they are, at least you drop the seed.
Yeah, exactly.
At least you drop the seed to allow them to that you know, new tree or flower to start sprouting, and you never know where it's going to take you. I mean, when I started there, like I said, you know, I resisted it. I was making fun of everybody who was talking about past life and about spirit. I was ruthless about all that. I only discovered a few years ago that my great-grandfather was a Kabbalistic rabbi and a healer. I never knew that it's in our DNA. I was resisting it. I was against any religion, any spirituality. I only, you know, I grew up in a kibbutz with Alpha in Israel. I only cared about the seasons, about nature, about animals, but never really in the context of spiritual. I always made fun of it.
I mean, I'm right there with you, and it's so interesting because even making fun of it, we put our focus on it. See, and I do believe that even when you're in that space, you have put your energy and focus on something that most people don't even think about. And I think back at the many times that has happened, and now I look at it and say, oh, that was getting us ready. You know, all this kind of joking and making fun, that, but, you know, and my friends would say, why do you even pay attention to that? Well, here we are today. Itzhak, thank you so much for today. Can you please let everybody know again how to find out about you, how to get in touch with you, get your books? And then lastly, I'd love to know your personal message. What do you want to leave us with today?
My message is a message that my teacher, Yupupiara, used to say from Brazil, used to say to us that we are all shamans. Every human being is born with everything that a shaman needs. We are dreaming. We have visions. We know how to give a glass of water to somebody who's thirsty. We know how to hug. We know how to sing. We know how to make other people's dreams come true. And it doesn't mean that you have to be a professional or choose that professionally in your life. But it means that we have the innate capacity to make other people feel better about themselves and heal the world. And my message is, because we have all of it, we have to take responsibility that we cannot say that somebody else will do it. We have to own it, that each person on this earth is a healer. We have to look at every person on the street, in a car, that is black, white, yellow, orange, whatever color, that is, you are the healer of all those people, and you are the healer of the environment. You are the healer of other people's dreams. And so owning that responsibility is the most important thing.
Thank you so much for today. Thank you for everything you're doing. And thank you for sharing, you know, a prophecy that everyone can relate to. Thank you so much for today. Thank you for all that you're doing.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you, Dr. Pat.
Thank you. I want to thank all our producers, and I just got a text message from somebody wanting to know what that was flying over me, and it was not an eagle. It was a vulture. My totem became the turkey vulture as a result of that vision quest.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative.